I'd like to call to order this public hearing. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for being here today. I appreciate that you're taking time out of your busy schedules and for a number of you taking away time from your family to be out here to get some information and to hear public testimony on whether the county should go out for a public safety levy. If I could ask all of you, and I'm going to do the same thing, if you would take your cell phones out and turn them off, please. There we go. I'm a good boy for all of my friends. This is our fourth public hearing. This is our fourth. Is our fifth? Okay, it's our fifth. It's our fifth public hearing. And we're here to hear public testimony with regards to a public safety levy. To start things off, I think I'd like to let everyone introduce themselves so you know who is up front. And I'll start down here to my left.
Marty Silbernagle, Director of Community Corrections in the Juvenile Department.
Greg Hansen, County Administrator.
Jennifer Wheeler, Commissioner.
Mike Ainsworth, Commissioner.
Craig Pope, Commissioner.
Aaron Tobin, District Attorney.
Bob Wolf, Reelected Sheriff.
Also, there is a paper back there for public testimony. Matt, is it back there on the table?
Yes, it's back
there. If you would like to come up front and have public testimony, we would appreciate if you'd fill out the paper out there. I think you have to have your address and whatever. It doesn't matter. You'll get it when you come up here. So, anyways, for anyone that would like to speak, we would appreciate it if you'd fill it up. And if you don't feel like it right now and maybe later on, we'll still give you an opportunity to fill out the speech. I would like to introduce Mr. Greg Hansen. He's going to kind of give you an overview how we've gotten to the situation that we're in right now. And then after that, Sheriff Wolf will also speak. So, Greg?
Thank you, Commissioner Ainsworth. I guess the reason we're here today is because of a recommendation I made back in November to the Board of Commissioners. At that time, I made a recommendation to place a local option tax, which is better known as an operating levy, on the ballot for May 19th of 2015 in a general election to restore public safety services in Polk County. The local option levy would be in an amount not to exceed 45 cents per thousand of assessed value, and the duration of that levy would be 5 years. As a result of that, the board accepted that recommendation with the caveat that we would hold public hearings to get input from the citizens throughout the communities of Polk County. As Commissioner Ainsworth stated, this is our fifth public hearing. We are going to have a total of 9 public hearings to discuss this issue, get input from the citizens. No decisions have been made on this topic. The board will consider all testimonies of these public hearings and any other information that they have before they actually consider the final recommendation for a local option tax or operating levy. And that decision will probably occur sometime in the middle of February, no later than the end of February, or at least placing it on the May 19th ballot. If they elect not to put it on the May ballot, then they can take their time and make a decision later in the year, and if they decide to place it on November ballot of 2015 or even later than that. So, like I said, this was a recommendation from me. The board accepted the recommendation to get the process started, and this is part of that process. How we got here? Well, it's been a long process of how we actually got here. We've been having our public safety system, and I call it a system because it's only as strong as its weakest link. The public safety system is made up of the sheriff's office, which has patrol, jail, emergency management, the civil process, dog control, marine patrol, and another, a lot of volunteer efforts on search and rescue and those things. The sheriff will talk more detail about his functions. We also have our district attorney who's here today, and he oversees prosecution, support enforcement, CASA, medical examiner, and CAMI, I believe, are the functions that he oversees. And then again, we have Marty Silbernagle here who oversees our juvenile, which is for our youth offenders, and also Marty oversees the adult parole and probation office. And then people that aren't at the table, which is a big component of our public safety system, is our court system. That's a state function, and they would be here if they could, but they're pretty much prevented from being involved in any type of political process per their jobs and that. But approximately 5 years ago, we started, our public safety system started to erode. At that time, we had approximately 120 or 112 FTE, which are full-time equivalents, people in our public safety system. We currently have 78, so we've reduced that number by 34, or a little over 30% of our workforce in public safety. Every department up at this table has felt cuts: juvenile, community corrections, the DA's office, and the sheriff's office. And as a result, our public safety system is at the brink of collapse. And my recommendation was, like I said, to put a ballot measure on the May election to generate approximately $2.25 million. That's what the 45 cents per thousand would generate, and to utilize that to fund 22 additional FTE to restore public safety services throughout our departments. And if you want a detail of what numbers those would be, there would be 12 in the Sheriff's Patrol Division, 5 in the District Attorney's Office, prosecution, and then 5 in the Sheriff's Jail Division. There would also be 2 additional juvenile detention beds. We used to operate at 6 juvenile detention beds. We currently are operating at 4, and it's necessary to get those 2 additional beds back in the system. Otherwise, we have some problems, and most of those problems just cost extra money, because if we have to keep youth in detention, we just overfill and get charged about $160 a day for those youth. So that's how we got here. We got here as a combination of losing ONC timber revenues. Got here, and I'm not lying, because of benefits, both health insurance and PERS. And we got here because of flat property tax revenues. Those are the biggest elements that contributed to the reduction in funding, and as a result, the reduction in services at the public safety level. We also have other departments that live within our general fund, which all these departments that we're talking about reside, with the exception of the juvenile department, but they receive most of their funding from the general fund. And we're operating at a bare minimum countywide compared to any other county in the area. We're at bare bones in all departments, not just the sheriff's office, the DA's office, and Marty's offices. So that's how we got here. Hoping to hear input from the public on what you think, and hopefully can provide some input to the Board of Commissioners so they can make a more informed decision rather than just based on my recommendation.
Sheriff Wolf.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Again, thank you to everyone that showed up here this evening. This is really kind of an important issue for our community as a whole. While we are here in the city of Dallas, we do perform functions within inside the city of Dallas. The sheriff's office is responsible as the primary law enforcement agency for the county, and then we also support the jail that falls underneath the budget of the sheriff, and that jail services every one of the cities, because when a municipal agency makes an arrest, they take them to the Polk County Jail, and then once that handoff occurs, then they're under the responsibility of the sheriff's office. Once they get into the jail, if they are charged with a felony or a misdemeanor crime, and they're directed to circuit court, not municipal court, then the district attorney's office is responsible for the process. And then upon successful prosecution and conviction, if it's done, then it goes to Marty, who ends up providing for adult supervision for any adult offenders that have been convicted of a crime in Polk County. Marty will talk about his program, but for the most part, he's responsible for the felons. But in Polk County, we're very fortunate because his division also takes care of some of the misdemeanor supervision as well. We're here tonight because it's an umbrella. When we're talking the public safety system, as Mr. Hansen said, it encompasses a whole lot of things, but law enforcement, whether it's the sheriff's office or municipal police, they actually start the whole process. And one of the things that we're starting to see now as a result of loss of patrol deputies is some of that process is starting to fall off, mostly because a lot of the arrests that the sheriff's office was making in 2013, when you compare that to 2014, we've already shown a 34% reduction in physical custody arrests. And so that creates somewhat less of a workload for the district attorney's office, yet the complications of the cases tend to bring that back up. But with the sheriff's office not being available 24/7 now, which started March 29th of 2014, we now only patrol 10 hours a day. And so anything that comes in when we're not on duty gets held over for the officers when they come on duty at noon. And since March 29th, there have been approximately 1,500, a little over 1,500 calls that have come into the 911 center in Salem, which answers all 911 calls for Polk County, and there has been no Polk County deputy on duty to be available to respond to that call. This creates some significant problems if it involves fire or medical personnel, because there's no deputy available to respond to stabilize the scene so that the medics can get in and take care of an injured person. We also provide a great deal of backup to the municipal agencies, and I know for a fact that the city of Dallas, Monmouth and Independence, the chiefs have all spoke to me about the fact that they're starting to feel the pinch about the fact that when they have less people working at night, when things are a little bit slower, they used to depend upon the sheriff's office to be their backup officer. That is no longer occurring. The sheriff's office responsibility is pretty broad. There are about 125 laws and miscellaneous administrative rules that pertain only to the sheriff. And so some folks seem to think, well, I can just have the state police respond to things. Well, state police goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning, and so they're not available. And there are a lot of functions that the sheriff is responsible for that the state police and the municipal police agencies cannot do by law. It's the sheriff's office that's responsible for entering restraining orders and for serving restraining orders. And those are particularly important with domestic violence cases. And so that's just one of many different things. If there's property that needs to be seized, money that needs to be seized through banks and or other institutions, it's the sheriff. Only the sheriff's office is responsible for doing that. There's a lot of functions that the sheriff's office does, and people seem to, particularly in the cities, say, well, why do we need sheriff's patrol when I have the city police? we're part of what the city police do because we serve as their backup. And then we've been part of teams together, which now we're no longer part of. The drug team, they used to take care of all the drug investigations in the county. Particularly if the city agencies ended up with a case, they'd refer to the drug team, which was made up of all the agencies, including the sheriff's office. That team is no longer operational right now due to the fact that we're not on it, and then several of the cities had to pull back due to some shortages they were having. But in a meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, several of the cities are ready to put their people back on the team. But because historically, and since I've been sheriff since 1999, the sheriff's office has always had at least one, if not two, and at one point we had three people on the drug team. Today we got none. I've only got four deputies that work patrol, and I have two of them that work detectives. And so with those four deputies that work patrol, I use patrol sergeants to help cover what few hours that we're out there working now. I could spend hours talking to you about the different functions that the sheriff's office does. We're here to try to get input from you. But one of the things that I think is really important for everybody to understand is I have been your sheriff since 1999, which means every year I sit in front of the budget committee and the board of commissioners to discuss budget issues. Since 2008, I have seen the sheriff's office getting money reduced because we're funded out of the general fund. We don't get funds from any other portion of the budget. And as a result of that, I've been there every year, and the budget committee struggles and has continued to struggle since 2008 with trying to make sure that there is enough money for public safety, not just for the sheriff's office and the jail, but for the district attorney's office and juvenile and community corrections. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that money is gone. We do not have access to the federal timber money that we used to get, and that has caused us to get in the situation that we're in. The taxes have not been raised as a result of the loss of that money, and that's what gets us here today to talk to you citizens to try to help us understand how we can try to fix this short of a tax increase. The only other option is a tax increase through a public safety levy to take care of the entire city. If there were money there to be had, I would be fighting for it. The district attorney would be fighting for it. It's just not there. Since 2008, Mr. Hansen said, I've lost 24 employees from the sheriff's office. What's really troubling to me right now is I just got our general ledger report today. Since July 1 through December 31st, I've cut the jail back to where they're operating every day at minimum staff. If someone calls in sick, we have to send them to mandatory training, or we do grant vacations. What we have cut that way back from our employees as well. We've restricted how much time they can take off for vacation. I have spent $79,000 in overtime trying to cover shifts for the vacancies because I have to have a minimum of five people working in that jail. Otherwise, I'm going to get sued, and it's going to cost all of us a lot more money. Because I am responsible for the care, custody, and control of every person that walks through that door in that jail. $79,000 just in overtime. I am working my employees into the ground. So this is a real issue. There is no can of money buried somewhere in the courthouse that we're going to pull out if, in fact, we do receive any additional funding from the federal government, which is highly unlikely, although Commissioner Pope has worked on this. I would presume that this Board of Commissioners would then not levy as much taxes if we do pass a operating levy in the years that we might get any of that money. But this is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a smokescreen. These commissioners have not cut back your public safety as a method or a step to try to get you in here today to support a levy. There just is no other place to get the money. And so that's why we're here, to get input from you folks tonight as to what direction we should go.
Thank you, Sheriff. Okay, Matt, if you'll bring the, once again, if you'd like to have public testimony, please fill out, put your name on the paper back there. What we'll do is we'll try to limit it to 3 minutes. You know, I might give you a little bit of extra time. And if you would come up here after I call your name and sit down in the chair, state your name and your address, I would appreciate it. And we'll go from there, okay? Once again, thanks. I'd like to thank the City of Dallas for providing this venue here for us tonight. Okay, the first one is Bob, who lives on Magnolia, I think. I can't read the last name.
Bob, I just thought we were signing in. I'm sorry, we didn't wish to testify.
Okay, I see. How about Monty? Pearson?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming.
Say again?
Thanks for coming.
You betcha. Thanks for having us. I'm a newbie in town.
Monty, your last name?
Pearson. Monty Pearson. I live in Oakwood, Oakwood Drive in Brentwood. So I'm fairly new, been here in town about 9 years. About the same length of time Sheriff has been here. First of all, I'd like to say I'm in favor of, I don't have a problem with passing, putting on the ballot and passing the resolution. I have a couple questions that may not relate directly to this in tonight's meeting, but I think it's the big elephant in the room. And if we're willing to face it, let's face it and move on. If we're not willing to face it, well, there's no hope for us at all. The question I have is, we have lost the timber revenue, and with the environmental conditions of the state, we aren't probably ever going to get it back. Let's be blunt about that. Okay? Secondly, how many other systems, county systems as you're calling the Sheriff's Department, have undergone the same amount of cuts as the Sheriff's Department? Question. That's the question I have to you. How many other of these have been?
Suggest to you that you get through your questions and then we'll answer them.
Okay.
You don't run out of time.
All right. The second question I have is, how many people have been added to the county staff since 2008? And the third question I have, which is a fundamental question to me, and I'll say I spent 20 years plus in the military. I've read the Constitution of the United States. I've read the Constitution of Oregon. Have you folks read the Constitution, both those constitutions? And if so, where does it say in that those documents that we are to spend money on a lot of other things other than public safety? That's my questions.
Go ahead.
By other systems, I'm assuming you're meaning, for example, public works or health services or those.
Well, those that are listed here as a start.
Yeah, there are a ton of services that a county government supplies, public works being one of them.
Fully understand that.
Public works has dedicated funding. It's funded primarily by gas tax revenue in the amount of $4.2 million. That money is earmarked and required to be spent on roads.
So no general fund money goes into those things?
General fund money does not go to the public works, with the exception of a minor state timber cut that can be used solely for the purpose of maintaining timber resource roads. Other than that, there is no general fund money that go to public works. Mental health, which is our biggest department in Polk County, is funded completely by the state and or feds. There is no general fund money that goes to mental health. It's probably the department that has grown the most in the last 5 years. Probably gone from 50 employees up to 96 employees, back down to 68 employees, and probably we're about 72 or 3 right now. But there is no general fund money and no Polk County property tax money. I won't say there isn't tax money because it's coming from the state and it's coming from the feds.
But just a different path to get there.
Right. But those monies are, again, dedicated for those type of services, not to be utilized for public safety. There is some crossover there, and the sheriff will be the first to tell you, and local law enforcement and municipalities, is they spend a lot of time dealing with that population, and his jail that has become a de facto minor mental health residence for some of our individuals. But there is no general fund money that goes into our mental health system. There is general fund money that goes into juvenile, which is part of the public safety system. They receive the biggest general fund transfer that's outside the general fund. Our public health system does receive a general fund transfer of about $120,000. Now I think it's up at $150,000 this last year, but they're probably the second biggest receiver of general fund money. And outside of that, I think dog control gets some, but that's a public safety system.
Community service.
Well, community services in the general fund, though. We've had growth in certain departments. I think our public works has grown by one FTE in the last 5 years. Again, mental health has grown leaps and bounds, then shrunk, and now is growing again. And that's the nature of that program.
Okay.
And I realize that, you know, people, it's hard for people to understand a county budget system. We have a lot of dedicated monies for dedicated things that we are, our hands are tied.
Well, I don't have a problem with, but I understand budgets.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
I was a logistic officer.
All right.
I understand money. Okay, so you're telling me, you're telling us that our general fund money has shrunk because of the reasons we all agree with. We don't have a problem with that. We understand it has shrunk.
Yeah.
Okay, has all the departments underwent the same shrinkage that the sheriff's department has undergone?
I would say yes and then some. But they received, they had their cuts done first. We tried to keep public safety as much as whole as possible until there was nothing left to do. We have three FTE in our clerk's office, lowest in the state per capita. Our assessor's office, lowest in the state per capita. Our community development, lowest in the state per capita. We have the least amount of FTE or bodies in any one of these departments as there is in the state. It's just the fact. The last ones to feel the effects were actually the sheriff's office. The DA's office felt it first. Sheriff felt it last, but he's gotten the big hits because there wasn't anything left to do. I mean, we're required to collect taxes. We have to have people to do that. We're required to assess. Community Corrections has not seen a big reduction in their FTE, but they're funded primarily through the state, through 1145 monies or state revenue, and some of his monies are shared for the system as a whole also.
Okay, it may be offline.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to get a copy of where all but the general fund money goes. Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
Because you're singing a woe song here, which I understand, but yet the only people that seem to be wooing is the sheriff. That's what we're hearing, and I don't want the sheriff to woe, because if somebody breaks into my house, one of two things are going to happen.
Neither are good, yes.
Neither are good.
Right.
And having spent many years in the military, I know how to use a 45 caliber pistol. It's just a fact of life. And I know he can't get there in 3 or 4 seconds, which takes an average person to advance 10 feet. Is something like a second and a half, and he can't get there.
Yeah.
And I want him to be able to get there. Or the police department can't get there in that time. So it says that we are to protect the citizens of the county and the state. And I think that my point of view is maybe we need to really relook at where some of this other money goes. And harsh to say, you know, get rid of some of them other people, period. Get rid of some of them other services, other systems, because the Constitution says you are to defend the citizens. You are not to provide all the cushy little things for the people who live down in the ghetto or live down underneath the bridge here that come through town or live out between us and Fall City.
Thank you for your comment.
I don't know if you picked up that.
I did not pick this, but thank you, sir.
Look at that one, and then we'll try to get you all that information you want.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Gene, I thought I saw you somewhere.
May I stand?
Sit right here.
May I stand?
I'd appreciate if you just sat there and spoke to us.
I'm Jean Sherbeck, 744 Southeast St. Andrews Lane, Dallas. I do approve going to the Polk County voters with the proposed levy. It's an opportunity for us to provide adequate public safety services for ourselves. I believe that educating the electorate is crucial, and I thank you all for organizing these meetings and putting information also on the Polk County website, which is available and very informative. I have observed at Polk County budget hearings for the past several years, and I can attest to the painful situation that is worsened each year, especially with regard to the public safety departments. I think we citizens of Polk County deserve adequate public safety services, and it is in our power to provide these services for ourselves. And I'd invite the public to attend the public hearings on the budget, which I think this year will be held the first week of March. Is that right?
April.
It's very educational.
First week of April.
April, sorry. Anyway, it's very educational and interesting, and I think it would be very good if more citizens would attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Margo.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Margo Lucas, and I am a county constituent. I live in the unincorporated area of the county in a rural farm, and I am a supporter of what I would probably have to call a scaled back version of this levy. I'm going to speak to you tonight with two hats, one as a constituent and one as the legislative liaison for the Salem Cannabis Industry Association. You asking for this levy, and the county has very tight budgets, but I want to remind you that so do your citizens. That we've been in a long drawn-out recession, and everybody has a tight budget. So I support law enforcement. I want to reinforce that statement, but I do support a scaled-back version of this. I think it's too costly. I would like to also point out that I would hope that it's been considered that there will be less arrests in this county based on our new initiative, and I hope that that's been considered in this matter, and that there's also law enforcement money available through the state because of our marijuana program. And right now the county does have a moratorium on marijuana businesses, and I would like to see that lifted, or perhaps after May, we can discuss how we might be able to move forward with rules and regulations in this county that would accept these businesses that will bring revenue for law enforcement. And I want to say also that I hope that that has been considered as part of this plan, because there will be less expenses when there are less arrests and there are revenues available. I wanted to repeat that. I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's a very bad feeling when you call for law enforcement when it's needed and they do not come. And the county is, you know, everybody expects when they pay taxes that law enforcement is going to come. I had no idea that we only had 10 hours of patrol last July when I needed a law enforcement officer. So I did want to point that out. Sheriff's patrols are a very basic service, and it's a very big public safety problem in the county. I think you all know that people are concealed weapon permits. I don't know what the numbers exactly are, but our citizens, from what I hear, are arming themselves, because I know that nobody's going to come out to Buena Vista and help me. And that's very unfortunate. I come from a law enforcement family, so I do support law enforcement. My eldest brother was a DEA agent for 13 years and is still an investigator for a district attorney's office. And I would like to work with the county and help you to understand our program so that we might be able to tap into that source, but that would require that we open our county to marijuana businesses. And I would like to discuss that further with you. And if you have any questions, and if you could answer the question about has this lower arrest numbers and the potential of revenues from the state program been considered.
Thank you. Sheriff, do you want to say anything about the lower arrest rates?
Well, most of the marijuana issues for user amounts are violations anyway, and so it's, they're just citations. It doesn't really make
any
difference.
Do you have numbers on that?
I didn't bring them with me.
Okay, maybe we can check back on that.
I can perhaps speak to that, what we anticipate coming in my office in terms of enforcement and prosecution. Since the marijuana ballot measure passed, we've seen two arrests for marijuana, and both of them treated as violations. One was prior, a significant incident prior to the ballot measure passing, really was resolved. The person chose to plead to the marijuana rather than having a gun charge be their conviction, which would have resulted in a prison sanction. So that was a plea instead. So those have been the only significant ones who resolved those violations for the new ones. I'm concerned about the fact that the DUIs are going to go up because of the enforcement. It's going to be quite a bit different and quite a bit more challenging for our office. So we're trying to anticipate dealing with that. And I think that's going to cause our costs to go up and our labor costs to go up as a result of the new legislation potentially until that gets resolved.
Could you explain why you think it's going to go up?
Because there's not this, we don't have a blood alcohol content equivalency that we have at this point. So trying to process those resources is going to be very different, more challenging for us. So we're going to have to anticipate spending more time on those cases. So it's going to have a...
So let me ask you a common sense question. How has that changed pre-law and post-law? Because marijuana is out there illegally. So how do you explain your reasoning that that has changed? When marijuana is out there illegally, it's there already. They're driving under the influence prior to 91 being passed. And now they're... I assume people are going to drive under the influence of marijuana post the initiative being passed, but how do you explain there hasn't been this jump in numbers?
People using a legal substance may be inclined to drive under the influence of a legal substance and may be more likely to be on the road and be under the influence of a legal substance, just they are by using alcohol. So the potential for more people to be under the influence of a legal substance rather than an illegal substance, which may have a deterrent factor of it being illegal, people may be inclined to use it to excess, and they may not know they're under the influence of drive. So we try to anticipate that problem. As you know, with alcohol, you have a clean blood alcohol 0.08, which we can determine and calculate, and we don't have the same amount that we have with the sterility tested with marijuana. So that's a challenge that's that we're still going to have to work with over time. We anticipate our caseload going up just in one initial near period of time.
Well, those are issues that will be worked on going forward. So I know that it's not resolved at this time, but we do hope to resolve some of those problems. And I know that there's a lot of smart people in state that are going to be mandated to work on that. So I do anticipate that there will be changes to that in the future. So I would love to keep an open dialogue about the subject. And I would like to reiterate that I do think that it is a little costly, and if there was a scaled-back version, I would probably support it 100%. But I have a very tight budget myself, personally, and I feel that it's the overall program that you're asking for is too costly and may be a little difficult to pass. So I would urge you to consider a scaled-back version that we can get passed so that we can restore those patrols. I think that's of the utmost importance. And we also, just as a side note, we also have this television program coming up.
Thank you. I gave you more than 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Wanda.
Wanda?
How are you? I'm good, how are you?
Good.
Here we meet again.
Name and address, please.
Wanda Davis, 876 Southeast Miller Avenue, Dallas. First, I want to thank you for having these meetings again. And I really, really want to thank you for your service to the county. It's not a particularly comfortable position to be in. I know your chair's right now. But I'm here to tell you that I'm here to support this levy. I frankly don't think it's big enough, because what levels will we be bringing our staffing back to with 45 cents?
It would restore our 24-hour patrols and get us back involved in several other programs that we've had to follow.
But what, 2004 levels?
Short of, it'd probably be, it's a little like, it'd be like 4 positions short of what we were in 2008.
Okay, and that concerns me. We've known for a long time that the ONC money was not going to be here, or we had a pretty good hunch that it wouldn't be. Congress is kind of gridlocked, we've all seen that, but frankly I think that the adult thing to do would be to step up past this levy, and frankly I would do more like we tried to last time, but we couldn't do that. But the thing that I'd really like us to see us do is to use this as a stopgap for the next 5 years, but then really get to work on a long-term plan for funding all of the services that we all want. That's really all I have to say, but I'm with you guys on this, and I'll help you.
Thank you, Wanda. Rachel.
But I too am supportive of our public servants. I'm sorry, Rachel Calico from Independence. And I'm supportive of our public servants and appreciate your work. But again, our resources are limited also, the citizens. So that's my concern. There's a lot of people that are really struggling as it is. They have lost jobs or are on fixed incomes. And it's not because they don't want to support you. They can't support you with more money. So just a compassionate attitude generally in the discussion would be great, and certainly not characterizing anyone as not being supportive of public safety. Of course we all are be safe. So thank you.
Thank you. Ken?
Hello again. Sorry I missed the last 2 meetings. I wasn't feeling well. Well, so far you got me worried about flushing my toilet right now. Kenneth Mayer, Dallas, Oregon. You got me worried about flushing my toilet because the public works off of gasoline taxes. And as you all know, we're losing $1 million a month or every 45 days because the gasoline's so darn low now. So there's another problem you're going to be probably facing here pretty soon. So
the tax is still the same, though.
You're looking at taxes. Any way you look at it, it's tax for taxes.
I would think we're going to get more because people are going to be driving more because the gas is so cheap. It's all based on the gasoline. That's all right.
It's based on consumption.
Okay. Now we're sitting back here, and, you know, your last levy, I believe, was for 4 years.
4 years, 60 cents.
Yep. And this one is 5 years.
5 years, 45 cents.
So it's not a big difference in between. You're adding a year and just a little few cents less. Is that correct? Yeah, basically what you're asking for.
Yeah.
My biggest concern and what people got to know is if the timber money doesn't come back in 5 years, you're going to be asking for money again. And that's got to be put out there straightforward. And no resolutions have been made whatsoever, or you people or anything brought to us saying, hey, we're working on this, maybe we'll be able to finance it at a later time. But you need to be straightforward with the people here saying, hey, Once this is done, we're going to need more money, and we're probably going to need more money after that, and we're going to need more money after that, unless something drastic happens. You know, the Congress is already talking about raising gasoline taxes on us. I mean, so where does it stop? I mean, I don't know how many people got, but I got a phone call today about the city. And it was basically, and I know where this is going, Roy, we're talking about the road tax again. That's what I'm getting tired of, is basically every time I turn around, we got some entity in this city or county saying, we need more money. But they don't give us, there's not any other solutions to bring the money in other than going after the homeowners and the businessmen. That's, let's face it, those are the taxpayers, the homeowners and the business people. That's who basically you go after from these levies. And a lot of her saying, come on, enough's enough. I respect the law enforcement. I do. My brother's in law enforcement. But it just gets to the point where we keep paying. And we're not getting any solutions of how you're going to solve us from paying so much. We have, you know, we have a list of taxes on our property tax bill, but I don't see any of them dropping off, because as soon as one gets close to dropping off, another one's added. I'm looking for the day I pay a little less. That'd be great. That's what I have to say right now. If you came at me with a solution saying, hey, after this, we know we got money coming in, you'd probably have a vote here. But I don't see an end solution. I need an end solution. And I see most of the taxpayers would like that, too. Thank you.
Thanks. Joe?
Joe Komek, 565 Southeast Mifflin, Dallas, Oregon. I'm a resident of Polk County since the year 2000, and as I like to say, I live here by choice. Thank you for all you do, all the hard work you do, and I do appreciate the services that Polk County provides. I'm a firefighter. I really want to turn around and talk to the audience. I'm a firefighter. I put myself out there on the line, and I don't have any law enforcement coming to watch my back. I'm expected to go to domestic violence calls, attempted suicides, motor vehicle crashes, shootings. Now there's nobody that has our back. What's next? Are they going to put me in a bulletproof vest? I already wear 60 pounds of gear. So I get it. I totally get it. I'm speaking in support of the levy. I totally get this. OSP now, sometimes, what, after 2 a.m., they're not even coming. Or if they're coming, they're telling us 45-minute ETAs because they're coming out of McMinnville or out of North Marion County or wherever, or out of Detroit Lake maybe even. You know, this is the situation. We're being asked to do more with less. You know, they call the fire service an all-hazards responder now because we don't know what we're getting into. We're the people that get called when nobody else wants to deal with it. We need you guys to have our backs. So I totally get it. And if you guys don't get it, turn your scanner on and listen some night when nobody's coming or the ETAs are 60 minutes. Also, I worked for the court system, the Oregon Judicial Department, for 11 years. I worked very closely with the district attorney's staff in Multnomah and Clatsop counties where I worked for the courts. And I totally understand the amount of time and resources it takes to successfully prosecute cases. The DA is up against paid attorneys that have endless resources. They've got to have resources to prepare their cases. You know, the fact that the caseload's going down in the courts is because these guys aren't out patrolling and making arrests. I mean, come on, put two and two together. Anyway, I get tired of hearing about our tax rate. I mean, we brag about it that it's the lowest in the state. And here we are because of that fact. Because the voters have shot ourselves in the foot, you know, starting with Measure 5. So now we're trying to deal with that. I totally understand the system. We have to keep asking for money a little bit at a time, a couple years at a time. That's the system that we have to deal with. So one of the bigger issues is that Oregon's entire tax system needs overhaul. You know, you guys can't help that. You can advocate with our legislators, state, federal, you know, to try to work on that. But that's the bigger problem. Sorry, my 3 minutes is up. I urge you guys to find ways to educate and convince voters in the incorporated cities with police agencies that these cuts in DA, jail, community corrections, juvenile affect them. Even though they have a police force, you've got to seriously get to those people in the incorporated cities and talk about them. We need to get over ONC money. It's not coming back. So I guess that's kind of it in a nutshell. I didn't think I was going to go 3 minutes. Thank you. At least I didn't ask any questions.
Thanks, Neil. Okay, one last time. Anyone else like to come in? If you'd like to come back up and speak, raise your hand. Anybody else like to speak? Okay.
Commissioner? Yeah. I do have an email that I received from a citizen that he asked that I read for the record. This is from Gary Weiss at 774 Southeast Guy Lane in Dallas. His email says, and I'll read it verbatim. Sheriff, I am unable to attend the public meeting tonight because of a prior engagement. As a gun owner and one who carries, I want to let you know that I support your levy or whatever it takes to properly fund the sheriff's office. With the change in marijuana laws, I anticipate more criminal activity in Polk County, and I'm not looking forward to getting into a gunfight with criminals. What happens in the county will spill over into the cities, and therefore it is absolutely necessary that we have adequate law enforcement presence in Polk County. Please read this statement on my behalf if possible. Thanks, Gary Weiss.
Thank you, sir. He was first. Okay, come on.
I didn't sign up.
It's all right. We'll sign you up right now.
Sure. Mike Stevenson. I live in Monmouth. I don't really have a prepared speech, so if I ramble, I apologize. I graduated from Western Criminal Justice. I'm all for the proposed levy. I'm a renter in Monmouth, as a lot of people are there, so seeing those property taxes will affect our landlords, and I would assume come down to us eventually as renters. In the past, like 2 years or so that I've lived where I'm at, my rent's gone up over $70, but something like this, I would have no problem putting forth that extra money. Right now where I work, I've seen significant increase in drug activity, and we rely on law enforcement to come out and help us out with that. Not having that a lot of the time has been difficult. And it just makes things difficult for us as employees and for the business that I work for, not having that available to us. And so I think about that, and I think about, you know, those, like I had a friend the other night. Hey, someone's outside my house. They're stalking me, peeping in my windows. What do I do? Call the police. Okay, well, who's going to show up? I ended up having to get at the Amhill. It took them a while to get there. My friend expressed concern that I shouldn't have to sleep with a gun and a bat next to my bed. And so it's just one of those things where I think, sure, there might be some increases for property taxes, but I think it's all definitely worth it. And you know, I think it's definitely something to consider. If you haven't been in a situation like that, try to put yourself in that situation where, what if I don't have this? Who am I going to rely on? And so I would be definitely all for the proposed levy. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Is it Noel?
Russ Noel, Oak Grove Road, West Salem. Y'all have heard this before, but the levy isn't the only answer.
If you can sit down.
You don't get to worry.
The levy is not the only answer. We can, as citizens, do our part to help out. Letters to the editors, phone a couple people you know, have them attend the upcoming meetings. Viticulture Center on Dokes Ferry Road, Ross, Monmouth, these are all coming up. Let other people know so that they can learn the facts from these guys. That's it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? It's your last chance, huh? You guys up here, would you guys like to say anything?
Oh, you got it.
Huh? You want to talk, Brian? Craig just wrote your name down.
Welcome to Dallas. Thank you for the honor of Brian Dalton, mayor of Dallas, 1650 South Explano Wood Drive. They make me live in Dallas. Thank you for the honor of presenting today on this important topic. I believe that I speak for the Dallas City Council and the proponents of our community in saying that we fully appreciate how robust and effective county public safety system is and is vital to our well-being. The merits of the case speak loudly. Practically speaking, an operating levy is the only way to pay for the system we need. However, in tough economic times when cynicism towards government runs high, gathering up public support for a levy is the obvious hurdle. Jumping this hurdle depends upon the levy's structure, wise timing for the ballot placement, and a sound campaign for its passage. I think that's why you're all here tonight, to listen. With over 70% of the county voters residing in our five municipalities, if the measure goes down in the cities, it fails, period. To help us make our case with our voters, here's what we need. First, a deep and enthusiastic collaboration between the leadership of the county and the cities. Second, enough time to organize a good campaign with a central organization, a fundraising mechanism, and above all, a clear campaign strategy. Third, access to campaign materials, especially brochures and yard signs. And finally, we need to hear a detailed explanation of the benefits derived from the taxes, not just in dollars, percentages, and staffing levels, but in a full description of the tangible programs and benefits that city dwellers will see in their daily lives to excite them to vote for it in a wave. I seriously doubt that anyone here tonight quibbles with the compelling need for a strong public safety system. Therefore, I trust that you will hear some very good information to help you reach your conclusions regarding a levy, content, timing, affordability, and strategy. Dallas is a very collaborative community, and we work very well together. I suggest that you play to this strength. We're here to help. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Anyone else like to give some public testimony? Anyone on the panel here like to say anything? No? Craig?
No. Well, I would reiterate some of the concerns about ONC funding, though I can tell you it's part of my day-to-day agenda, and it's what I work on, and I'm actively engaged in congressional efforts to restore some funding that, frankly, whether you want to use the words ONC or not, that your federal government owes you the opportunity to derive revenues from those federal lands. So, though we may not be popular when we use ONC as a term, the fact is that I'm going to continue to fight that those federal lands that sit out there pay their fair share. And though I do believe that it's important for us to have, at the very least, a stopgap system in place to restore our public safety system that's good for all of us, I'm not done fighting that battle on how we get our natural resources back to work and helping provide opportunity, you know, to restore some of that money. But as Joe stated, the fact is we have a very challenging taxing system in this state, and it's way beyond my pay grade to fix that, and I'm pretty confident any of us here, local government, and though I would appreciate statements about, you know, other opportunities, I frankly don't see marijuana taxes as a solution to a more than $2 million hole we're in right now locally in county government. It may have some opportunities, and we're a long ways from fully understanding that. So I'll try to keep an open mind with it. But like Colorado, frankly, I'm waiting to see it actually perform. So, you know, we're trying everything we can. We push on every door we see, you know, trying to find any opportunity we can to get revenue, even small amounts. But unfortunately, between inflation, legislation, and cost of living increases that go on for a lot of people, not just county employees, you know, it's, you know, the revenues that we find are outrun by those increases in costs. And as try as we might, at least since I've been in office, the dollars that we've received have not been able to keep up with the increased costs of doing business in the county. To the question that was asked earlier about departments and other cuts that have been made, you know, we run into some serious danger right now in our community development department and building inspection of being able to actually meet the needs of the development community out there, and for any of you that want to build and expand business or your home, our ability to meet the need just for that element now is in crisis, because we've cut that thing, you know, cut that department over years, you know, right down to the bare bones. And we do everything we can to try and streamline that, automate that, make sure that it's got all of the most current technology that we can afford to keep it moving forward. And we're all doing those things, trying to find ways, you know, to have the newest technologies to meet those needs. But unfortunately, it still takes a revenue stream that we once had. And, you know, again, we have a growing population, a growing cost of doing business, and a decreasing revenue stream. So, you know, again, that over $2 million a year that the federal government was providing us, whether it was through actual timber harvest receipts or secure rural schools payments, was an important element. And yes, we've seen the potential for that coming, but we've also had to be patient while we hoped that Congress and our Senator Wyden, who kept promising us he was going to have a solution, that those things would actually come true. And I've tried to be patient with that, and I'll continue to be patient with it and keep working it. But now I'm in a point where I push harder on our congressional delegation than ever before. So it's I'm a little less polite with them than when I started 4 years ago, because I tell them all the time when I talk to them, we're in crisis mode. So far, so
what do you think? Will you give them a time limit or something?
Look, my head says, like, oh, what? I'll stop.
Well, I thought maybe you thought about him being polite.
No, why are you giving me so many layups like that? Yeah. I just wanted to add something.
You want to go ahead and add something, Ed?
Okay. Thank you. I did not mean to cut you off.
It's okay. I'll cut you off if I need to.
All the respect. I wanted to say a couple of words, and I was thinking about what I wanted to say, because I know that if I start, I may not stop, and so that may be maybe the trait of my profession, it may just be the Irish, I don't know.
I'll stop you.
Thank you. But I was particularly, first of all, I do acknowledge that the city of Dallas has a very thriving municipal court, and when I talk about, I have to acknowledge that. So the city of Dallas does its part in terms of misdemeanors and your ordinances, and so city of Dallas helps in the public safety system to hold people accountable. We, however, take your felonies, first misdemeanors, and other parts. The first gentleman who spoke said something that stuck with me. I want to create a scenario at the end of his comments. I just wanted to key off on a bit. First of all, we made cuts in my department. We lost a felony prosecutor to begin with. We've also voluntarily cut a position as well in our management ranks as well to try to keep things efficient. The prosecutor's office, you know, we're the ones at the end of dragging it, you know, the credits are going over at the end, so the just desserts, that's what we do. But when a person comes to your home, sir, I want more deputies so that they can get there quickly, so no one has to think of resorting to extreme methods in their own home. I want deputies. I want officers there. And I want to be able to hold people accountable if anyone ever does anything to you. If anyone commits crime, that's our job, holding people accountable. You have the smallest prosecutor's office for prosecutors in the state or county of this size. It's really a hard job. It's a battle every day to go in court and fight against defense attorneys who have, if not unlimited resources, certainly a lot of resources. I and we go in there and we fight every day to do that. And it's just, it gets harder and harder to do that with the small cadre of people we have in the office. I came over here tonight, there's people in my office who are still working. Got a guy preparing for trial tomorrow. That's the dedication of people we have. I'm fighting to keep up with that. That's why getting the levy passed is real important and real meaningful to be able to meet that obligation. That's all I'm going to say. I will start going on. I'm happy to talk to more people offline. You know how to get a hold of me. I've got business cards. I'm online. I can give you numbers. I can give you specifics. But it'd make a huge difference as to what we can do in terms of holding people accountable for the crimes they commit in this county and in the city of Dallas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jennifer, do you have something?
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming. This is what we need. We need to hear from you. And I think, just from hearing what you've all said tonight, I think the question that we need to start asking ourselves is, can we not afford this? We're talking on a $200,000 house, $90 a year, on a daily basis, less than a cup of coffee. I mean, would you rather give up your cup of coffee or your share? And that's, I mean, that's not very sophisticated, but that's where we're at. And these guys, like Joe said, these guys put their lives on the line for us every day. And we need to remember that. Not just the sheriff, not just the DA and community corrections, but our firefighters out there, our first responders are out there putting their lives on the line for us every day, and we're asking for 25 cents a day, roughly. So I think we really need to start asking ourselves and our neighbors, can we afford to not do this? Can we afford to let the system continue to deteriorate? Because at some point, we hit the point of no return, and that's what we don't want in Polk County. We don't want to have to do this because we have a headline saying, you know, a woman was in distress, she called, we couldn't get there, and she doesn't live with us anymore. We don't want that headline. And that's where we're headed, folks. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Can we afford to not support this?
Marty, Greg?
I have information on the back table. Feel free to grab one. If you have questions, you can call me.
Okay.
I'm good.
Good. Well, once again, I'd just like to thank everyone for being here. For me, personally, it's about quality of life. It's about the quality of life that we've all had for a number of years. And I think as crime continues to rise, now I don't have any record about it rising or not, but it's about feeling safe in the communities that we live in, and it's the quality of life. And we all have a vested interest in that. And personally, my mom is still alive. She lives by herself. My mother-in-law lives by herself. I would hope that there would be someone in there to respond on their behalf. And once again, I'd like to thank the City of Dallas for providing this location. I appreciate from the bottom of my heart for everyone to come out, because this is a public hearing to hear what the public has to say as we look at a public safety level. So thank you very much for being here. This meeting is adjourned.